He covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Flair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, Blair, I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star. On the program.
Blair Kirchhoff brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Check them out. They're at I-35 and Santa Fe, the number one volume GM dealer in the state of Kansas. The number one GM dealer in the metro area. That's Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. The Yukons, they have arrived. Great selection of the GMC Sierra pickup trucks. They're starting to get them back on the lot. Go check them out right now. I-35 and Santa Fe. You can see them online at robertbrogdon.com. Again, that's robertbrogdon.com. Mr. Kirchhoff, sir, how are you?
Doing great. Hope you are too.
Yeah. No complaints. No complaints whatsoever. The USC job is open.
I hear that.
We just did a bold and daring prediction on who will end up getting the job. Lebo said Mario Cristobal. I said Bob Stoops, because I think they've got to go sizzle. And he didn't look real comfortable on the set of Fox. That didn't look like a long-term plan for him.
I didn't see that, but I don't see him. He was young when he retired.
Right.
So you could see him getting back into the game at the right school.
Jed said Urban Meyer. And Pete, a little bit of a wild card, said Mike Garrett.
Mike Garrett, that's good.
I thought it was great. If you don't have an answer, make it funny. Pete nailed it. I loved
that's
it.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. So what do you think? Like,
well, I would, if you had to come up with a name, I think of those names, yours is the one that makes the most sense because of the sizzle factor. I think the next coach at US, look, what they did before Pete Carroll and what they've done since Pete Carroll, I think the answer is find somebody like Pete Carroll, somebody with personality who, has a proven winner elsewhere and can kind of stand
Eli
up.
Drinkwitz, you're saying? Lebo wanted me to say Drinkwitz just to mess with Jason Anderson.
Yes.
Jason will be on tomorrow explaining why Missouri is a better program.
But I think Stoops kind of checks some of those boxes about being a big personality. And he's not a huge personality, but he's got a personality and
he's got a presence. I mean, his resume gives him a presence for sure.
Yeah. But he doesn't back down from cameras. The fact that he's doing TV suggests that he's not afraid of the camera. In LA, you better warm up to media and spotlight.
Peterson, the Boise State and Washington coach, his name is being thrown around.
He doesn't like that sort of thing. He's not a spotlight guy, but he's a heck of a coach.
How much is the spotlight still there now that the Rams and Chargers are there and the Lakers are back being good? Like when Pete Carroll was
the Dodgers, for gosh sakes.
Yeah, and the Dodgers are really good. When Pete Carroll was ruling the roost, everything was down in L.A.
And there wasn't football. There wasn't NFL.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. And they were, if you've seen the 30 for 30 and all the other specials done on the Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart era Trojans, that they were the glamour team, not only of all college football, but more importantly, of L.A. And so, they had the celebs on the sideline coming to practice. And so, it was never better than when – and they were a mini dynasty, right, from – 2003, 2004, 2005, they were one of the greatest college football teams of all time. So, but I think of Pete Carroll. Who's out there that would fit the mold of a Pete Carroll? And
you mean a guy that absolutely nobody wants whatsoever, and his daughter happens to play volleyball at USC, and he's just wandering across campus, and they're like, oh, I just had a V8. I'll hire Pete Carroll. You mean that kind of scenario? Because that's what it was when he was hired.
Yes, that's what I meant. That's exactly what I meant. it turned out well. The fact that he had some success in the NFL, and playoff teams, not winning playoff teams, playoff teams in the NFL. But gosh, he was talk about the right coach for the right job, and he USC didn't hire him because of his showbiz ability or his personality, but while he was there, he became that. And he was a celebrity coach. He was, no doubt about it, he was a celebrity coach. So,
do you agree that USC, like, no matter who you are, you take the call? Like, that's one of those jobs?
No doubt about it.
Right? Like,
it is one of those jobs.
Yeah, like you know, I think if you're Kansas, you can call John Calipari. He'll take the call. It doesn't mean he's going to leave. But you can make that call, right? I think USC is one of those jobs. And so, to me, where they should go is who's the best, most successful coach at the highest program that you think you might be able to pry away? I don't think you're getting Nick Saban.
I don't think so, but that didn't stop Texas from calling him. Remember back in the day,
right? I don't think Saban's going to uproot now. I think he's about his place in history, and he's not about building anything right now.
One more to top Bear.
Yeah, and so I think that'll be the approach there. Is it Dan Mullen at Florida?
He's a bit of a live wire,
you know.
How about a nice little dress rehearsal Saturday when he played at Alabama? If he, you know, he's going to have all the college football world.
Is it Kirby Smart at Georgia?
I don't know if it's Kirby Smart.
If USC threw $8-9 million at Kirby Smart, would Georgia match?
Well, I think Georgia would match, but if you're going to throw $8 or $9 million at someone, I'm not sure Kirby Smart would be the first one I would do that.
Who would be?
Well. If we're talking about the college ranks, right, mm-hmm. staying in the college ranks, Mullen would be. I would throw it at Mullen before Kirby Smart
because of his history of developing quarterbacks.
Well, I think he's a better coach. I
really?
I do.
Okay.
I think he's a better coach. I think he's done more with less.
Yeah, in Mississippi State,
and Kirby has done what he's done with what he. With what he has,
okay.
I guess.
This is a big year for Kirby Smart at Georgia.
It absolutely is, because he's, you know, beating Clemson a couple weeks ago set him up. Now he's the guy, right? He's got to do it this year. It's got to happen. They got to beat Georgia and beat Alabama, and it's just something that they haven't done in quite a while. Florida hadn't beaten Alabama since the 2008 SEC championship game with Tim Tebow, so we got that game this weekend.
Well, they don't ever play him. This is the first time they've played in 10 years.
I know. That the beautiful SEC scheduling where the kingpins avoid each other and you get two teams in the college football playoff. So Ryan Day, I don't think is, you know, he's not on that. He wouldn't be on that list. You know, listen, the two coaches we always talk about are
Luke Fickle.
Yeah, that's, you know what, there's that group of Luke Fickle and Matt Campbell sort of together of coaches we admire. Coaches are doing a heck of a job. I don't know if either Fickle's got the relationship with the current AD there.
Well, let's back up. What the hell are you doing firing a guy two games in? If you were a bad loss to Stanford away from firing a guy, then he should have been fired this past offseason when you could have made a real run at Urban Meyer.
Yeah, maybe. Yes. Yeah, you could have. But it didn't happen. And so they started the season with Clay Helton.
Okay.
And then did you read Bill Plaschke's column in the LA Times?
Well, he said apparently he's the guy. Apparently when he says this guy's got to go, then everyone in LA just immediately does it.
He's got the clout in LA like you do in Kansas City. So
that's funny. I almost choked. Why would you say that while I'm trying to take a sip of tea, crying out loud? No, trust me, they don't listen to me. I think that's been proven time and time again around here.
I like that it happened after they get embarrassed by Stanford, who got embarrassed the week before,
right?
By K-State.
Stanford did change their quarterback.
It did. That's right.
And that did make a difference for them. You know, I think you have to wait it out, right? Because I think you want to see, does James Franklin bring it all together mm-hmm. at Penn State? His name's out there. Does Matt Campbell run the table from here on out, knock off OU and go to the playoffs? Then that's a name that I think I would look at.
And Fickle's the other one. If they can go undefeated with what they're doing and end up in the playoff.
If I'm USC, I'm hiring away the best guy from a Power 5, as long as Oklahoma and Texas are still in the Big 12, Power 5. The best guy from a Power 5, I want a proven commodity. I don't think you have to go. I appreciate what Luke Fickle's doing, and he's got a big one this week. I'll have to take a look at it. I remember it was Cincy and Indiana. He's at Indiana, which doesn't sound big because Indiana got throttled by
Iowa.
Iowa. But Indiana was supposed to be a top 25 team, so this is a bigger challenge. You're going to get no credibility for it. They're only a 3.5-point favorite. But I think I was looking at, okay, where are the teams that are coming into the Big 12 playing? That's a really big game. You want Cincinnati to come into this league with some momentum. You don't need them to go fall on their face to Indiana, a team that got trounced by Iowa. But, you know, if he does, you know, no offense to him, you know, you're like, that's a tough sales pitch, isn't it, when it's like, well, Ohio State didn't keep him, and he's a Buckeye grad. And he wasn't good enough for Ohio State. We're trying to be as good or better than Ohio State, mm-hmm. and we're higher in their sloppy seconds.
I go back to Stoops.
How about Brian Kelly?
Which would open it up for Stoops at Notre Dame. I don't know enough about Kelly to think that he'd be interested in Southern Cal. What advantage would he have at Southern Cal that he doesn't have at Notre Dame?
I don't know. USC's a very good school, just like Notre Dame. Notre Dame may be better. I don't know. USC may be better. I don't know which one's better.
Is it easier to recruit at Southern Cal?
I think so.
Maybe a little bit. I'm sure they're ahead of them in the recruiting rankings every year.
But I wonder, was Jimbo Fisher the target? And that's why we sat here going, what the hell are you giving this guy an extension for? It's because USC was actually going to come make a run at Jimbo Fisher already? Would that have been the name? Mm.
If you think, again, I think it goes, when you talk about Jimbo Fisher, it goes back to having, where did Fisher succeed? At Florida State, where he won a national championship, and he's off to a good start at Texas A&M. Two places where.
Is it Lincoln Riley?
The environment. That's an interesting name, isn't it? Lincoln Riley, who's young, personable, you know. We always think of his next job being in the NFL. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
I think this would be a mistake. What about Cliff Kingsbury? They hired him as the OC before he got the Cardinals job.
That's exactly right.
If it doesn't go, if it's 8-8-ish for the Cardinals, restart the shot clock and take a big check to go be the head guy at USC. Like, I almost think
his college record, I think, dismisses him. I mean, the fact that he didn't have a winning record with
and then not have a winning record in the NFL, but then get the USC job, that would seem to make all the sense in the world.
And in college with the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I think right now, if you're a blue blood, which USC is, it's a bad time to be hiring a coach. Do you believe Eric Bieniemy is actually a candidate, or do you believe, like I do, that Eric Bieniemy's agent fed that to Adam Schefter to get his name talked about?
Yeah, that's how Adam Schefter gets.
Most of the national
it is.
Guys
I wish, get it. And I wish I was on that list. You know, right. I'm not begrudging them anything, but that's how that happens. Let's put it out there and see what and let's make Eric Bieniemy.
Let's make
talk
sure his
about
name
it.
Is being discussed, yep. and then we'll get several stories because Eric Bieniemy will be asked about it. It'll be on TV tonight. It'll be in the paper tomorrow. You know, we're getting his buzz. Let's get the early buzz going about Eric Bieniemy for head coach. And I'm not mad at Eric Bieniemy. That's what his agent should do.
Yeah,
that's why you have an agent. You stand there and be like, I'm focused on this right now. But your agent creates a buzz. I mean, that's good work by his agent. And I don't think Andy Reid minds. Like Andy Reid would like him to get a head coaching job. I mean, I don't know that Andy Reid's first choice is to disrupt his staff in season, but I think he wants Eric Bieniemy. You know, I think maybe more than he wants to win his first championship or certainly another championship, he wants success for the guys around him. And I think that's if you know, I don't want to say an Achilles heel. It's just a trait because I think there are people say, "You mean helping other people out is worse? That's a bad thing." No, it's not. But if you're a fan of a team and a guy you think is spending more time getting his assistants hired than he is, I don't know, you know, looking at some more film, like I think you can do both. But I think his passion now and maybe always would be to get his coaches great jobs. I think he's a people guy.
Yeah, just doing right by your assistants. Yeah. That's what he is. I mean, he's been doing it for a couple years.
Do you think Bieniemy would be a successful college coach?
Well, I don't know if I have a different answer than would he be a successful NFL coach.
I do. See, I think the jobs are different.
Certainly the environments are different. If he, you know, if he starts at the bottom of it, if he's going to be the next coach of this year's, you know, 3-13 NFL team, it's going to be difficult for him. He goes to USC. Let's just say it is USC. You have more ways to. To make things work in your favor on the college level than you do at the NFL. You pay your coaches what you want. You recruit who you start from a position of strength at USC just because that name does mean something. It absolutely is a respectful historical power, respectful name that recruits will listen to. There's no way that USC should be losing players to Oregon and to Washington, which they've done over the last 10-15 years since 10 years since Pete Carroll, right? I've thought about this. When Bieniemy's name first came up, before Clay Helton was fired, I never thought about, I wonder if Bieniemy would be interested in a college head coaching job. Would it be and would it be USC? But then the name came. But then the leak was out there, and I read the rationale. Obviously from Southern California. He coached at UCLA, so he knows the territory a little bit. But you asked me a question that I had not given much thought to, and now that I think about it, I think the answer is yes. I think he could succeed more in the college game.
Yeah, I think he would recruit well.
I do too. You talk about returning to running back. That's what USC would, even in this quarterback-driven world.
I think guys would want to come play for him, and I think so. From that standpoint, there would be an attraction, and I think he'd do. I think he would be a better recruit. Although everyone says Clay Helton was a great guy and the players loved him, and
yeah, players were not happy when this happened.
Yeah, so I mean, I get that, but I would be. I think Eric Bieniemy would talk the talk, walk the walk, and I think he would get talent. The question is, would he bring it all together? Would the rest of the program building be something that's a strength for him, and would that work? And it's amazing. I think the exercise of who would be the guy. Usually, when a blue blood like this comes open, the domino effect, the ripple effect, permeates throughout college football. But I don't, unless it is a Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
Or a Kirby Smart. I don't know that this one is going to have that effect. And I think if it doesn't have that effect, then maybe it's not the blue blood it used to be.
Well, if it comes from the pro ranks, then it obviously is not going to have that effect. But, you get these, I get them all the time, odds on, as soon as something like this happens in the news, you get somebody posting odds on the next coach. So yeah. I got one of these a couple hours ago.
Okay.
And Bieniemy went, he's now number two on this list. James Franklin's number one.
Yeah, I can see that.
P.J. Fleck, number three.
Really?
Yes, I put him in the Matt Campbell.
Row the boat.
Yeah, that's right. Luke Fickell, number four. Matt Campbell, number five. So I won't divulge who, because I don't recognize the odds makers on this. But
it's at least somebody who's taking a shot at it. I'm trying to see Minnesota. Are they even getting votes right now?
They've got a... Seems like they've got an interesting game. Oh, they're at Colorado this weekend. Interesting game. Urban Meyer fell out of the top five. Apparently, Bieniemy's place, Bieniemy replaced Urban Meyer in the top five.
How about this one? I'm just going to ask it, and then we can discuss it. How about the mullet?
Mullet's an interesting dude.
He doesn't fit with the political climate of the area.
Yeah, that is for sure.
He plays for the wrong team for... the way the state usually tends to skew when it comes to politics, and he's pretty adamant about it with that, because I think he'd be a good hire based on his football chops. The mullet being, of course,
Mike Gundy.
Thank you, at Oklahoma State.
No, it's because
cultural fit doesn't work.
No, it's because of that.
Yeah,
but that's not going to prevent him from throwing his hat in the ring.
Do you know there are four, or his mullet? Maybe clip off some of the hair and just throw it in there. Do you know how many head coaches are in college football right now that have won a championship?
That have won the college football.
Yeah.
Well, Saban's won most of them.
Yeah.
So,
one.
Jimbo.
Jimbo, two.
Mac Brown.
Three. And the other guy who's pretty recent is all you're missing.
Oh, is that right? Let me think about was it?
He's the only guy to run through.
Oh, Dabo.
Dabo Sweeney.
That's it?
That's it.
Les
Miles is out.
Yeah.
And what was on that list? Urban Meyer's out. Had been on that list recently. That's it.
How about that?
Four. No. Five, Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
Ed O., Dabo, Saban, Jimbo, and Mac Brown. Five guys. There are five. That speaks to how hard it is to win a national championship now.
Yeah, well, when two guys corner the market on these things, that's what's happening. And I suspect, you know, unless it's Kirby Smart breaks through this year, because that would be the one that you'd look at.
Kirby Smart, Lincoln Riley, Mario Cristobal is up to number 4 in the rankings. Kirk Ferentz is number 5 in the AP poll.
Yeah.
Kirk Ferentz is number 5, and how about this stat? We'll talk about players in the NFL, right? Talk about talent. Okay. Let's talk about players in the NFL, what colleges they're coming from. We'll do that next. Blair Kirkhoff's with us. He's brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC.
The Program with Soren Petro.
I'm out.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Good Sense end of the hour question I asked, born on this date, former Chiefs great Chester McLaughlin. Where did he go to college? Blair, Soren?
Oh, I know that one. That's a layup.
I did.
Clemson.
He was recruited by Danny Ford, and I think he played for Ken Hatfield at Clemson.
So. Yep.
Clemson Tiger. I did not know that. He's from the North Carolina area. I figured Blair would have a pretty good shot at that one. Great food from Good Sense was yours, if you knew, like Petro and Blair.
That's right. You can order it on the app. Easiest way to order, or goodsensesubs.com. They'll deliver as well. Don't forget about that. That bread, they bake it fresh twice each day. Meats and cheeses, that's sliced right in front of you. It's the freshest sandwich you're going to get anywhere in town. It's at Good Sense, founded right here in Lenexa, Kansas. Go check it out. That loyalty club gives you 10% back. It's the best loyalty club around. Find it right now. GoodSenseSubs.com. Mr. Kirkhoff, sir, talent-wise, where does the talent in the NFL come from? You know, it's like, what the hell does that have to do with college? Well, I mean, it's just an idea of where.
By school or by conference?
By school.
By school.
So, Alabama, 54 players in the NFL. Ohio State, 50. This is on opening weekend.
I would have thought Ohio State slightly ahead, but
okay.
But that's second. Yeah.
You want to guess third?
Oh, I guess I will guess Georgia.
Fourth with 36.
How about, well, then Clemson?
Sixth, tied for sixth with 34.
How about the Gators? If you're having to, that means
ninth with 32.
USC?
Oof.
Way on down.
All yeah. Right. USC not on this list.
Is it obvious, number
3? Not obvious. There are a couple other ones I would think you would guess.
Well, Oklahoma is one I would guess.
Okay, so Oklahoma is tied for 11th with 29.
And, God, I hate to go here, but Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, I'm sorry, fifth. No, we're tied for fourth with Georgia. Okay. You haven't said LSU.
I haven't said LSU, and they sent half of their national championship team.
Right, so 47. LSU's third. So Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, Georgia, and Notre Dame tied for fourth. Clemson and Iowa, along with Michigan, tied for sixth. Iowa, 34 players from Iowa. Florida, 32. Penn State, 31. Miami, Oklahoma, Texas, Washington, 29. Florida State, 25. Iowa.
That's interesting, Iowa. That's the one that doesn't seem to belong.
Right? I mean, that's like, okay, I see why Kirk Ferentz is good. He gets good players. Now, are they all 5 stars? No. But the best talent evaluator in college football appears to be Kirk Ferentz, right?
Yes. Yes. But he doesn't get speed. He doesn't – there are no – that skill position, guys.
It is lineman types. Yeah. It's in the trenches types that he tends to do the best with. How about this one? I had this. I was going to use it as a question in chumps if it got to it. Who do you think has the most centers?
Centers. Oh, interesting.
Play center in the NFL. How many center?
Well, I know one... Alabama sent their center, right?
Okay. One school has 4 NFL centers.
Is it the Hawkeyes?
No.
Is it Wisconsin?
No.
Yeah, that would be a good one, too. I'm trying to stay out of the SEC.
You shouldn't. Okay. But even that won't get you there. You'll take 8-9 guesses before you get to the school.
Oh, how about Missouri?
Yes. Missouri has 4 NFL centers.
That's fantastic, actually. But yeah. Even – oh, does that count long snappers?
By the way,
or?
Curtis texts me, Missouri.
Way to take a day off, dork.
Yeah. Take the day off, one. And two, Yes, I got it from the same source you did. The NFL puts this out. Yes.
That's perfect.
Isn't that fantastic?
Curtis. Sorry.
Thanks for listening, Kay.
Stop.
Though I don't think you count, you know, when it comes to the
It's a great list, though, because from that list would suggest there should be more variety of college of programs that can mm-hmm. win the national championship in college football, and there isn't. I mean, LSU won. You know, they broke through. They broke through the Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, you know, consistency. But heck, I mean, there should be more programs with that kind of NFL talent. You know, from these schools, more teams should be at least in the Final Four than we've seen in the last few years.
So let's try this. The quarterback position. There are three schools that are tied for the most quarterbacks in the NFL.
What's the number? It's three?
Three.
Shoot.
Oklahoma.
Good one. When they got the 1-1s, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, and... Jalen Hurts. Okay, they must be counting him, yep.
And right. Alabama's one if you count Jalen Hurts that way.
They must be counting him just at OU because they're not out there. Mac Jones and Tua.
Tua, right.
So it is amazing that three Alabama quarterbacks, the last three Alabama starters, I know Jalen Hurts didn't finish there, but he was one of the last three starters. The last three Alabama starters all started opening weekend of the NFL. By the way, none of them are any older than their second year. With Tua and Hurts and then Mac Jones in his first, all of them completed touchdown passes to Alabama wide receivers that they had completed touchdown passes to. At Alabama, right? It's not like, oh, Julio Jones caught one. No, Jalen Waddle from Tua, Devonta Smith from Jalen Hurts, and Mac Jones to...
No, I can't think.
Did he have an app? Maybe I'm wrong. Do you have an Alabama running back or something? Who the hell is up there? Maybe I got that wrong. Maybe just the two guys did. Maybe it's the last two.
And they only scored 16 points, so there was only one or two touchdowns.
I thought he did too. I'll have to look up. Look up Mac Jones' box score, see if there's an Alabama, if he had a touchdown pass, and it turns out it's the guy from Alabama. But
there are two other teams with two other college programs with three quarterbacks in the NFL. Not necessarily starting quarterbacks.
You know what it is? I think I got it wrong.
Is it Joe Burrow that you're thinking of?
It's Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase. Yeah, it's not an Alabama thing. It's Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase. So it's, yeah. So not, yeah, that's kind of interesting. So we got Oklahoma.
Yep.
The other two are a little more... difficult to figure.
Well, how about North Dakota State?
Nailed it. Three North Dakota States. Carson Wentz, Trey Lance, and there was a kid who's like a sixth rounder, right? I forget who it is. That was in between them, and he's, I guess, still on a roster. I remember thinking he was a guy that I thought might be kind of a sneaky guy for Andy Reid to grab late as a backup, but I can't remember the kid's name. And who's the third?
God, I got North Dakota State. How are you going to guess me?
This one, let me think through who they are. I can think of two of them right off the top of my head. No starters.
Oh, gosh. Well, how about then think about programs that have... Georgia.
Nope.
How many times have I said Georgia today?
You love you some Georgia, Blair.
I guess I do love some Georgia.
Right league.
Not Mississippi State.
North. North from there.
Yeah, anyway. So I'm going. It's going north. Well, there's Tennessee, and there's
West.
No, it's not. It's not. Well, west of Tennessee is.
And north of Mississippi
is Missouri.
Blaine Gabbert, Chase Daniel, and Drew Lock. Missouri has as many quarterbacks in the NFL, none of them starting,
right,
as any school out there. That's a little bit of fudge in the numbers because you could get Alabama to, you know, three as well if you want to count Jalen Hurts over there and so on and so forth.
That's legit.
No, it's totally legit. I mean, you know, is Connor Bazelak the next one?
No.
No?
Not what I've seen so far.
Did you like the performance he had this past weekend?
Against Kentucky?
Is Connor, I like the touchdowns. He's now thrown 6 touchdowns in 2 games. That's a great sign, I think.
After throwing 7 and 8, because he didn't play the first 2 last year.
The yards per attempt is not good.
It's not. So you wonder
but
how much.
Is that his fault or his receiver's fault?
Well, or how much, so the play calling or all of that. Listen, the Missouri-Kentucky game, I credit Missouri. I don't think their roster is as good as Kentucky's roster. And I think it matters that Stoops has been at Kentucky for 10 years and Drinkwitz a head coach for 3. I thought Missouri did a good job to have the ball on the Kentucky side of the field with a final possession to tie the game. So I thought Missouri showed themselves well in that game, but the defense is still a problem, and I just want to see a little bit more from the passing game and from Connor Bazelak. How about on the second play of the season, 2 weeks ago, they air it out, go downfield, and catch Central Michigan in the right defense, and they haven't gone downfield since. And I'm waiting to see a little bit more of the strength of the arm strength of Connor Bazelak.
It's an important stretch here for Missouri, is it not?
Well, this is where the first half of their season is where they could take advantage of the schedule. Up until the A&M game, right? It's Tennessee at Boston College and Tennessee at home and North Texas at home. I don't know exactly the order. We know BC is...
SEMO at BC, Tennessee, North Texas, and then A&M comes into town.
Yeah, so now the big games are Boston College and Tennessee, right? You assume they beat North Texas and SEMO. So, and Kentucky was always going to be a coin flip. They were 6-point dog. They lose by a touchdown. Tennessee... got to take advantage of them with a new coach. And, God, they lost Pitt at home this weekend, right? Did you watch it? Tennessee-Pitt? I don't think Tennessee. Playing, chasing Pitt the whole game
right.
at Neyland Stadium. And I think that becomes a kind of a must-win game for Missouri. I don't know about Boston College. I just don't know where, they've been a 500-ish program in a bowl, recently. I think that's a program, where the coach has been there for a while.
I think we know all we need to know when you can, win collectively 96-28 with a 51-0 and a 45-28 win over Colgate and UMass.
Yes, that's right.
What else do you need to know about Boston College?
Right.
And if there is a question still to be answered, clearly you'll get that answer when they go to Temple.
That's right. I remember I did look that up the other day. They played Colgate and UMass.
Colgate and UMass. What is that schedule? That is pathetic.
I didn't know Colgate had a football team.
God, I wish Syracuse would play that schedule. We might look a little better.
They're close to Colgate.
Yes, we are. We play them in basketball on a regular basis. Play Cornell, too. And the Cornell kids always bring out a big banner walk around the Carrier Dome that says safety school on it. For Syracuse. Syracuse was their safety school. They're going to Cornell, but their safety school was Syracuse. They couldn't get anywhere else. They knew they had Syracuse.
I love that.
It's fantastic. I think it's the greatest thing ever. People are throwing stuff at them and booing them. Every year, here come these nerds.
That's the Ed Helms school, right? Cornell, the Big Red.
Yeah. But I think it's a big stretch here for Mizzou. I mean, I think they want to cash on these wins. I mean, I think Missouri fans 7-5 are going to be like, all right, 8-4 they're going to be real happy,
yes,
right. 9-3 the momentum really gets going, but if you're going to get to 8 wins, I don't see a loss at BC or Tennessee getting you to 8 wins. Although I think A&M, we saw by Colorado's example, is eminently more beatable than people may realize. They're not winning at Georgia by all accounts, although I'm not sure how good their offense is. And then Florida and Arkansas, there just seems to be too many. To get through the rest with only 2 losses.
How good was Arkansas last weekend? That was pretty darn impressive what Arkansas did.
Remember, Arkansas was supposedly settling for sloppy seconds on the coaching.
Sam Pittman.
Because they supposedly wanted Eli Drinkwitz. And so I do think Arkansas, for Drinkwitz's sake, I think that's one you really need to keep Arkansas under your thumb. So that's going to be, right now, if it looks like, in 40-21 over Texas last weekend, if people don't remember. That's going to be a big game. That rivalry may take off now. If both teams are good, and these were coaches that Arkansas was looking at both of them, and you got theoretically your pick because you hired your guy first, you know, that adds, that's the kind of crap that adds to rivalries, right?
Absolutely. And Arkansas got it out for Missouri, having lost what, three or four in a row. So there's Missouri. I've got them 8-4, and I think that's optimistic. But that's three more losses. I think they'll be favored at home against Tennessee, and I think they'll be favored at South Carolina. I think they'll be underdogs to Georgia, Florida, and at Arkansas.
Okay. And A&M at home?
And no, they'll be an underdog there, too.
Yeah, so, yeah. So you were saying underdogs.
Yes,
yeah. So they got four more games that they're going to be a dog.
Yes. Now, a couple of those games.
And that means they got to get one of those.
Right. So you, so
and
you
hold court on the rest.
Right. So that means the BC and the Tennessee games are really important coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and look, so if they lose the four games in which they'll be underdogs, they're 7-5. But I want to think that among – Georgia's the one that you just write off. They're not going to beat Georgia.
Okay.
And but they've matched up well against Florida and Arkansas. They've had Arkansas's number. But, again, that was really impressive what Arkansas did last weekend. Find a way to win one of those games. You know I'm a Drinkwitz fan. I know you like what you've seen from him too.
Absolutely.
I think he's the kind of coach that can find a way to coach him to a win that they're not supposed to have, and avoid a loss that you know, that sort of thing. So I'm going to stick to my 8-4 guns on Mizzou this year.
All right, we'll take a break. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. I-35 and Santa Fe is where you can find the best dealership around. Number one volume dealer in the metro in the state of Kansas. It's Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. I-35 in Santa Fe, online at robertbrogdon.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
What a dumbass.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Blair Kirkhoff, brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, is with us here in the program. Will Howard in, Skylar Thompson out. They're a 2-point dog to Nevada. Nevada's a good team.
I think Fasikas plays for them. No, that's the basketball team.
Yeah, 15
years ago.
Yeah, right. I like that. Do you? What does this do for K-State's chances now the rest of the way?
He didn't.
They say Skylar Thompson's going to be back, but they weren't crying on the sideline because they thought it was just a twist.
No, and and they won't announce what it is if it's an ACL or a PCL or what. They won't tell you what it is. So we don't know. But yeah, you know, they're saying what, 3 weeks? We'll see. But it was terrible that it happened and the way it happened. Right, non-contact. He just collapses on the field. Just awful that it happened to him. And he, you know, played well against Stanford, and so Will Howard comes in, and it wasn't like, didn't look like he was ready, right? And the offense wasn't ready for the change because, you know, Southern Illinois got right back in the game, and Kansas State kind of fortunate to win that game. So, it's got to change. Will Howard lost 5 games to end the regular season last year. It's got to change your impression of Kansas State.
I'm a big Climbing fan, and so I went ahead and took K-State in the points. But I'm with you. I think Southern Illinois hanging around there forced them to, you know, I think they wanted to just go vanilla and, you know, leave everything they could off tape for Nevada. But they had to go get that game. And there is a reason to listen. Will Howard, full week of practice. There's a reason to believe he'll look better now that he's taken all the reps, right?
Yeah, and he did when he entered, won his first two starts last year.
Yeah.
But then it fell apart. The schedule got tougher, right? They beat KU was one of those two games last year. So, but Nevada's good. And the quarterback, this with Carson Strong, that kid is real deal.
We'll see what Oklahoma State does against Boise. But at Oklahoma State, OU, Iowa State, it's a pretty tough stretch.
Yeah, it is.
For them after this. So you really want to try to get this win in the bag. Blair, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll do it next week.
Sounds good.
Blair Kirkhoff, the best from the Kansas City Star. I will take a break, get you the things you need to know, and Jeff Passan's still to come here in the program.
The burnt end of the hour question, brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
Happy birthday to Bryson DeChambeau, even though I don't like him. What is his nickname? Great food from Joe's Kansas City Barbecue is yours if you know.